Well, you can't do a show today without talking about what Trump did yesterday. And if you don't follow the news and you don't know what I'm talking about, you might be a problem here because you should know what's going on behind your back and also in front of your face. And it's all because of one man who happens to be the president, who has for some reason gone totally off the rails. Whether you support the policies or not, the man, there's something wrong. There's something odd going on, without question. And it all comes out of the mouths of babes.
I'm very consistent. I'm a very stable genius.
No, you're an unstable moron. And we'll talk about that on today's show.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Unbelievable.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
It wasn't me that made them weird.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you. Well, welcome to the program for some reason. I don't know. Gosh. All right, well, we got to go through this because you have to. It's, things suck right now. Well, they do. And it all hovers around the incredibly destructive, angry, pathetic mind of the person that this country voted in as President of the United States. The destruction that he has caused makes this very suspect to just about anybody with tons of questions hovering around. There was a NATO meeting earlier this week, which Trump walked into and immediately started maligning the NATO nations as not paying enough money into the alliance. These are the countries that keep us safe, that keep democracy vital and alive, to the point where actually the Congress passed a legislation, just a day before the meeting, saying that NATO is important and the United States supports it. As Trump, the president, on his own, starts maligning it, starts arguments and insults against Germany and England and France, the very countries with whom we have an alliance, with Canada. He attacks them verbally on a world stage, and then just a few days later meets with Putin and considers him a close friend and does not malign his close friend at all. He snuggles up to Russia and lambastes our allies. Why? What's up with that? That's the question. That's just some of the questions. Trump insists on having a closed-door meeting with Putin one-on-one. He thinks he's the great negotiator. But when you do that, here is a president that it's a question as to whether he or his campaign officials colluded with Russia as Russia hacked into our election system during the last presidential election. That very man that's being accused of collusion, or his campaign staff is being accused of it, and many have been arrested, indicted, and pleaded guilty. Don't forget that. Yet Trump, as president, is allowed to sit in a closed room with the leader of Russia with nobody knowing what was said or what was agreed upon. It seems quite obvious with me that one of the closed-door discussions with just the two of them in the room was to make sure that Trump became president again for the next presidential election, which is a mere, well, just a little over 2 years away. That's probable. And yet we just sit here and say, whatever, whatever. Trump, on the world stage at a press conference after their little Russian summit there with Putin, he actually says, I know our intelligence here in the United States claims that Russia interfered with the 2016 election, but Vladimir Putin, standing right next to me, says no. He says it in a very strong and vehement manner, so there you go. So I guess he didn't. What's going on? How's that possible? And then Trump follows up by saying, I can't think of a reason why Russia would vehemently deny this. What reason would they have to deny it? What reason would they have to deny it? Donald, is there something wrong with you? There's a lot of reasons. They want to destroy the Western alliance. When you destroy democracy and the alliance thereof, Russia becomes stronger. And Don, that's exactly what you're doing. You're systematically destroying the Western alliance. You're questioning democracy. You're questioning the justice system in your own country. You're maligning the FBI, the intelligence bureaus. You're maligning the justice system. You're doing it all for us, Don. So the question to Donald Trump is, why are you doing all of this? What does Vladimir Putin have on you? Why are you doing this? Why are you a puppet of Vladimir Putin? Why does he have you in Putin's pocket? Did you do something odd in Russia that was so horrific that if it were released, you would be banished from the planet? Yeah, it's possible now. I didn't believe it before. I thought that was just a conspiracy theory. Now I'm really considering there's got to be something incredible. I've watched plenty of James Bond movies and plenty of spy espionage movies, and these things really do happen. They really do happen. Where a country will actually have something on somebody, and it's called blackmail. It's psychological blackmail. And I'm seriously, seriously believing now that Russia has got something on Trump. And Trump is doing everything for Russia to keep it quiet. And systematically, Russia is having Trump fulfill their needs. One of the reporters, after this Russian summit in Helsinki, actually said Vladimir Putin, did you want Trump to win? And Putin immediately, without thinking about it, almost defying translation, he said, yes, I did. So now Putin's admitting he wants Trump in office. He wants that puppet in there because that puppet is doing his bidding. This is a perfect setup for Russia. And Putin was a little too quick to answer that one. And when Trump was questioned about, did you discuss Crimea? Did you discuss Iran? Did you discuss the interference in the elections, basically the answer was, without saying no, the answer was no. We just did this to become friends. And it's the United States, it's all my predecessors who screwed this up so that relations are horrible with Russia. Just blaming the United States for just being morons on the public world stage. Maligning the allies and kissing and hugging the enemies. They've got something on Trump. Or, another explanation, Trump wants to continue to be president. And he knows that if Putin and his spy team and his hacking team, if Putin wants Trump to be in there, they're going to make it happen. Trump also, because he's psychologically ill, he constantly talks about Hillary Clinton and Obama. And he constantly maligns his predecessors. There's a point where the dignity of this country is being maligned accordingly as well. But he constantly goes back to Hillary Clinton. And he even said during this trip that he's president of the United States because he won the campaign, not because Russia helped out. Any suggestion that Russia helped out and Trump wouldn't have won otherwise, Trump will not have. That's an ego slap to Trump. There's a lot of bad stuff going on here. The man in the White House is a very sick, dysfunctional human being who, at the very least, is obviously on a rampage to weaken the United States and its democracy. Trump loves dictatorship. He loves the Kim Jong-un leadership. He loves the Putin leadership. He is in love with being a dictator. Congress, to Trump, is a stumbling block. Congress gets in the way of what Trump wants to do. People get in the way of what Trump wants to do. Trump has no concept that this country is run in a democratic fashion. That's why he cozies up to the dictators, maligns and tries to destroy democratic nations. Slowly but surely, he's picking away at how your country is set up. And if you're a Republican, you should be insulted, especially because Trump's patriotism is nil. Trump only destroys and leaves nothing in its place. Within the past week, he also escalated the tariff wars to the point where just about all goods that come from overseas will be more expensive for you to buy here because tariffs will be placed upon them. And when we sell our goods to other countries, tariffs will be placed upon us. This is a tariff war which is getting out of control. And I believe within about 6 months' time, you will start to see these prices rise. And you will say to yourself, this was not a good idea. You're going to be longing for the past rather quickly. During the press conference, Trump was asked, why do you side with a dictator who kills people, who has spies that assassinate, who shoot down airliners, invade countries, too, within the past decade? Why do you side with a dictator that kills people? And Trump's response, which is unbelievable, Trump's response is, well, we kill people too. Talking about the invasion of Iraq. We kill people too, so it's okay. Ladies and gentlemen, this man is unbalanced. This is the rational explanation that he spews forth. Every action, every direction, every tweet, every announcement is a destruction and dismantling of American democracy. It's gone beyond funny. It's gone beyond just shocking us every day of the week. It's gone beyond spewing forth anger and insults and bullying. It is now starting to pick apart the fabric of our country and our alliances and how we are viewed in the world. Because at this moment, the world views the United States as being pathetic, weak, in Putin's pocket, and not to be trusted. Confusing. All the words that are not the ones you want to hear to describe this great country. That phrase, let's make America great again, it's the opposite. Let indeed us make America great again by removing Donald Trump from office as fast as possible. They have something on Donald. And now what was a conspiracy is a legitimate question. Why is Trump doing this? Why is he acting like this? And how long will it take for people to be pissed off enough to say, this stops now? And those are my comments on what's happening. Not exactly funny or satirical or anything like that, but yet, start searching in your own mind what's going on. As I try to remain calm through all this.
You are listening to the Ron Van Dam Show. But you need to know that it's okay. We all make mistakes, and we must learn to forgive ourselves. The universe wants us to be happy, whether or not we listen to the Ron Van Dam Show. Nothing is forever, including the Ron Van Dam Show. You will be fine. The universe will try to forget about this one.
I wish I could. This is all too crazy.
Crazy, I'm crazy for feeling so lonely. Crazy for feeling so
Hi, this is Bob Robinson from Bob's Handy Around the House. I'm a local handyman. I've been in business for the last 50 years on my own, doing light repair work in our area. Whatever you need done, carpentry, painting, floors, tiling, yard work, I can do it all for you. I'll come to your home and do the work for a very reasonable fee. Naked. I should probably mention that I will be naked while I do this work. Buck naked, not a stitch on me. waving in the wind, in my birthday suit, showing what God gave me, naked as a jaybird. I'll be naked the whole time. I show up naked, I do the work naked, you pay me while I'm naked. Bob's Andy Around the House, Bob Robinson. You can look me up on Facebook, where I am naked.
Well, at least it's the summer and it's hot outside, so you don't want to wear a lot of clothes. I guess that's a good excuse. Yesterday, I did an interview with a young lady who represented Energy Infrastructure or something, Manufacturers Association of America. And she's saying that, if we're going to be moving fuel around, oil and natural gas, that our infrastructure, the pipelines and stuff, shouldn't have cracks in it. And that's probably a good idea. I'm not big on moving fuel around, but whatever the case may be, whatever. I started questioning her about this, and she didn't become defensive. She became very quiet. As soon as I asked any question, it wasn't on the list of what I was supposed to ask. And at a point, I could start to tell, and you listen to this and tell me if you can also discern this, that she was, when I asked a question of her, she only had a list of answers to questions. In other words, she could not talk on her own out of her brain. She could only read off statements by this Manufacturers Association that were prepared for her to say. The answers to questions were only what were written out. And when I started asking questions that were not on the list, she started answering them with written statements that somewhat pertained to it. It was so phony and constructed and scripted that I kind of made the interview shorter than it should have been because I was getting frustrated and a little bit perturbed. I will not be used. Like Trump is, so we just cut it short at a point, and I thanked her for her time, and we parted company. But as you listen to this rather short interview, listen to how her responses all seem to be prepared responses. And when I ask a question that's not on her script, she has to look things up and try to figure out how to answer it. This was pathetic is what it was. I will say that publicly. This was pathetic. Here's the interview.
Good morning, Ron. How are you?
I'm great. Susan Grissom joins us. She's Chief Industry Analyst for the American Fuel and Petrochemical Manufacturers Association. And we're talking about the infrastructure of our fuel system. I don't even know what the infrastructure is. I see trucks pull up with fuel on it and I get fuel in my house. Other than that, I kind of don't know what's going on.
My goodness. So,
my goodness.
America's midstream. Yeah, my goodness. America's energy midstream infrastructure, it's often overlooked. It's actually very complicated. And it is an integrated system of pipelines, railroads, ports, waterways, roads, and storage facilities that moves energy supplies. And it is essential, and it's really essential to healthy supplies of energy and to energy security, and it's critical to economic growth.
Okay. So it's working now, so can it be better?
Well, AFPM members are investing substantial amounts of money in developing new energy infrastructure to ensure that the American energy renaissance can continue. So while energy infrastructure may be adequate currently, because the U.S. is increasing production of energy, investment needs to be made to ensure that it continues to be adequate.
So the expansion of energy, is that in fuels or in, what type of energies are we talking about?
We're talking about increasing production of crude oil in the United States, increasing production of natural gas. Okay. And both of those require an increase in infrastructure in order to move those materials to market and also to the facilities that can turn them into the products that we use every day.
Is that infrastructure falling apart? In other words, why do we need more of it if we're sufficient with it now?
Well, for example, there has been substantial growth in U.S. crude oil production in the last several years. And as a result, additional infrastructure is needed in order to move that crude oil to market. The same is true for natural gas. And because the U.S. is both a consumer of natural gas and an exporter of natural gas, a consumer of crude oil and an exporter of crude oil, additional infrastructure is needed in order to ensure that this American energy renaissance can continue, that we can continue producing crude oil and natural gas, we can continue refining it into gasoline and diesel fuel. Okay.
So we have an excess of crude oil and natural gas to the point where we have to export it?
Crude oil is actually a global market.
Yeah.
And to say that we have to export it is not particularly correct. What ends up happening is that the U.S. is a very economic producer of crude oil,
right,
just as the U.S. is a very economic producer of refined product,
mm-hmm,
gasoline, diesel fuel, and other products like jet fuel. As a result, and because the market for these products is global, it makes sense for the U.S. to be participating in that global market.
Yeah, but why?
And in fact, in New...
Well, why export it if we have to import it from other countries? In other words, why wouldn't we just keep
why?
It? If we have to import oil from other countries, why don't we just keep the oil that we have and use it here? Why do we have to buy it from somebody else when we already have it? I don't understand that part.
Refineries require... Crude oil is not the same.
Uh-huh.
All crude oil is not the same.
Uh-huh.
And refineries are geared to process certain types of crude oil.
Mm-hmm.
As a result, it makes sense for those refineries to find the crude oil that best fits them. And that is what makes the global markets work, really, because it is imports and exports, and a combination that allows U.S. refineries, which are among the most efficient in the world, to actually optimize their operations, which ensures that consumer costs are kept low.
Mm. So the delivery systems and the pipelines, et cetera, need to be updated or expanded?
They need... On an ongoing basis, just like your car,
yeah,
all systems, complicated systems, need maintenance. So part of what needs to happen is that pipelines and waterways and ports need to be invested in, but we also need to expand infrastructure to accommodate the growing production of crude oil and natural gas in the United States.
Okay. All right. Okay. So it's very similar to the highway system, to our road system, where that's the infrastructure, but if we don't maintain it, that crumbles, and if we don't keep building, then we have an excess amount of traffic and cars on the road.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. I guess. Okay. So, what's being done? Is there an effort to? I mean, where does the money come from to do that?
Our members, who are refiners and petrochemical manufacturers, are investing substantial amounts of money in constructing new energy infrastructure,
okay,
and on an ongoing basis in maintaining energy infrastructure. What's key and what's important is that government policies that are related to permitting, financing, and trade need to support the ability of companies to make those investments.
Okay, which they're not doing now?
They are doing it. The challenge is to make sure that it continues to be done,
mm-hmm,
and also to make it more efficient. Permitting often has taken extensive periods of time in the past, and it's important, especially during a period where energy demand is growing,
right,
and energy production is growing, that we ensure we have the proper policies in place in order to support the expansion of infrastructure.
Right. But I think the permitting process is due to the safety of these delivery systems, to make sure that there's no impedance on other systems, and to make sure that they're safe delivery systems. So I guess that does take time.
Yes, it does take time, but often it has taken years and multiples of years in order to get pipelines permitted or other changes,
sure,
to the infrastructure system,
sure,
put in place.
Yeah, because the pipelines go through all different types of terrain and that kind of thing. I guess there should be consideration for that as well. Where does one get more information?
AFP OPM has just published an infrastructure report. This report is the fuel and petrochemical supply chains, and it is available at our website, afpm.org.
Okay, very good. Susan, thank you for your time today.
You're very welcome.
Okay, take care. Susan, could you be a little more excited about something? Perhaps. I'm out of time for today. Not a wonderful day of entertainment, but, you know, we'll bounce back tomorrow. It's, you know, it's just, this had to be. Ladies and gentlemen, I under all circumstances and possibilities, I wish you peace. Stay informed. Keep up with this thing. It's important. It's your future.